You're listening to the Men of Honor podcast, making a difference in the lives of men so they can make a difference in their community. You can listen to all previous episodes at menofhonor.club.
And we pray right now that our eyes will be open, that our ears will be attentive to hear the word of God this morning, that whatever you want to say, Holy Spirit, that we will just simply soak it in, that we will understand it for our lives, and that we will apply it to our lives, that forever we will be changed today because of your Holy Spirit speaking into us and our receptiveness to see that happen. God, we know the plans are good for us. And so this morning, we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you do. Please welcome Damo.
Okay.
Thanks.
G'day friends, I'm Damo. I have a beard. I grew it myself. It's real. I wanted to share a bit of news about Men of Honor. I run the Men of Honor group here at Riverway. A friend and I started it several years ago because we saw a need for Christian men to stand up and start being accountable to each other and to their families and to their church and to their employers and to their workplace. And this year, we're having a Rough Cut Men of Honor. We're combining forces with the Rough Cut Men from America, and we've got David Doucette coming over here again this year, and we've cross-branded, which is really cool, and we're having a Rough Cut Men of Honor conference. So if you're a man and you're 15 or older, we want you to come. It's a one-day conference, and it's empowering, and we've still got guys talking about the last one that we had. It will change your life. You don't have to have a beard. No, you don't have to have a beard. But your ability to grow one afterwards might be enhanced. No, I just on a serious note, though, it's a very powerful day. And it's not just the usual men's conference. It's not just the guy up the front here talking about how to live biblically. Well, actually, that's what it is. But he does other things, too. He uses action movies and mainstream media and takes snippets out of them, good blokey war movies and action films, and he takes snippets out of them, and then he applies that to how we can live as men. And it's relatable, and it's exciting. Something else that's exciting is, of course, Men of Honor comes back this year on the 6th of February. Yeah, one person's excited. Woo. And we're going to start podcasting this year as well. So even though it's a men's only group, it's not secret men's business. That's why we're going to share our lessons, because, you know, we might not share our group discussion afterwards, but we certainly want to share with people what we talk about, because it's relatable to everyone, not just men. And another exciting thing this year is, of course, our Men of Honor blog. So each week we'll be having regular studies. Yeah, thanks. We'll be having regular studies put up online and on our website, so anyone can access them as well. We want to make free resources available to everyone. And all the stuff on our website, of course, is free. So this morning, in the past month or so, I've heard some well-meaning people say some pretty interesting things, like God won't give you more than you can handle. And I want to talk, a while ago we did a sermon series called Things Jesus Never Said, and that's one of them, despite what you may believe. Now, with the rise of social media and the spread of all these biblical sounding phrases, it's gone viral, and people are believing all this stuff that isn't necessarily true. There's all these lovely images that have got inspirational phrases that are taking on the status of actually being somewhere in the Bible. But because people don't actually read their Bible and they read Facebook more, they actually think that some of this stuff's real. Like this one, be strong because things will get better. It may be stormy now, but he's up turbo. But it never rains forever. It sounds nice, but it's not true. Okay, thanks, Stewie. Difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations, and although that sounds wonderful, that's not entirely biblical either. Nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even our troubles. I think Charlie Chaplin wrote that one, and that's wrong. You are given this life because you're strong enough to live it. Not quite true. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Has anyone heard of any of these ones before? Yeah. None of them are in the Bible. Not one of them. How do you like that? Failure will never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough.
Rubbish.
There's so much wisdom in Scripture that people actually haven't read it. And all these false verses can lead us down the wrong road. So here's some verses I want you to watch out for. First one. God won't give you more than you can handle. And if you've been a Christian for more than 30 seconds or have been around Christians for more than a minute, then I'm probably sure that you've heard someone say that God won't give you more than you can handle. I think I've even said it. But it's not true. I've heard pastors and counselors and people make this comment, but we really need to think critically about what people say and what we hear. Many godly and mature and knowledgeable people might disagree with me, but I don't care. I don't care if I upset you with biblical truth. You can sort that out with God. And I still hope that you listen to this and engage a humble mind so that we can continue to help each other and to deepen our thinking on this topic, because it's important that we quote Scripture properly and that we understand Scripture properly. My goal is not to make anyone feel condemned or attacked, but rather to help us sharpen our thinking so that we can be more precise and helpful as individuals that are suffering. See, when some difficulty arises in our lives, in the life of a believer or anyone else, this verse gets fired like a Bible bullet. We hear it all the time. People say it all the time to each other. I hear it all the time in churches. And it sounds compelling, and it does remind us that God's care and concern for each of us is there, but, I mean, after all, he knows the number of hairs that are on your head. It says so in the Bible. It says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid, because you're worth more than many sparrows. But it's because God loves us and knows us that he must give us more than we can handle. After all, we've got a tendency to think that we can do everything on our own. So our pride has a way of dragging us down. It says in Proverbs that pride goes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. It's very important to understand, because many people might feel that when life gives them more than they can handle, that they can conclude that God's let them down. But I don't believe that God's promised that. I don't believe that he's promised that he won't give us more than we can handle. I think it's one of those phrases, much like God helps those who help themselves. My grandma used to say that. She also used to say, God help you if you help yourself. But people repeat these things so often and assume that they're in the Bible, but they're not. So what does the Bible say? Where is God, and how does he help us when life throws us these curveballs, when our troubles just pile up one on top of the other on top of the other, until we feel that we're just going to get crushed under the stress of it all? Might be the kids have frazzled your last remaining nerve, or that a friend or acquaintance has betrayed you, or someone's got under your skin at work. You know, you might be sick of the roadworks on Thuringowa Drive. It could also be that a close relationship is terribly strained, or a loved one is sick, or they've died. I'm sure you can make your own list here. You know, there's all these numerous situations and people and scenarios that sap our strength every day. And it's times like these, are we really meant to cling to the phrase that God won't give you more than you can handle? Just tighten your shoelaces, buddy. Take a teaspoon of concrete, you know. Take a deep breath and push forward despite how you really feel. And when we're poured out to the end of our last ounce of strength, do we conclude that God's either let us down or not kept his word? Or both? No. Not at all. To keep us grounded in the reality of our need for a higher power, of a saviour, God graciously allows us to see just how much we can't handle. He put the prophet Elijah's back to a wall and made him rely on birds to feed him. He gave Moses about 600,000 disgruntled travelers to walk around with in the desert for 40 years. He tasked the 11 apostles with spreading the gospel all over the world. So if he gave them more than they could handle, he's going to give us more than we can handle. Now, the Bible does say that God won't allow you to be tempted beyond your limits. It says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And that's good news. That's real good news. We need all the assurance. But temptation isn't usually what people mean when they say that God won't give you more than you can handle. And what, regardless of what you've believed previously, I hope we can all see that this saying is pretty vague and unhelpful. We as Christians and as ministry workers and as teachers and as helpers can make a lot more precise and helpful statements than God won't give you more than what you can handle. I reckon we should stop saying that altogether and say that God will give you all the grace you need in every situation. That's far more encouraging. And it's more precise. And it's biblical. No matter how much suffering people face and how deeply they hurt because of that suffering, they know the truth that God's grace is sufficient for them. We need to tell them that. It appears God will give us more than we can handle, so that we can give him the control to steer our lives. The point is that the key to Christian living isn't trying to be strong on us by ourselves, but rather letting God's power and strength fill and empower us through all these difficulties that we're going to face. Think of people like Moses. There we go, Moses. But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" He was a bit overwhelmed. He had a big task ahead of him. Couldn't see how he was going to do it by himself. Then Gideon, if you know the story of Gideon, he had to raise up an army, and then God culled his army down to about 300 men from half a nation. That would have been disheartening, to say the least. And Gideon reckoned, "Pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." That sounds like a guy that's pretty overwhelmed. That sounds like a guy who's got a bit more on his plate than he can handle. And then, of course, you've got Jeremiah and David and Peter and Paul. They're all given tasks and tests that were so much bigger than themselves. Jonah was so overwhelmed that he bolted off in the other direction. That's not the actions of a man that's living in the faith that God won't give you more than you can handle. You know, there were a lot of people in the Bible that are overwhelmed with what God called them to do, but God would often remind them that he was with them and he would supply what they needed. Over and over again, God led his people to get into situations that were humanly impossible to get out of. so he would receive the glory. It was much more than what they could handle, and that's the point. When they were weak, he was strong. Paul tells us that when he didn't have the strength to face his own suffering, that he found God's power and faithfulness was sufficient to provide what he needed. It was his inability to endure the suffering that he faced that led Paul into a greater knowledge and experience with God. It gave him provision and comfort and deliverance. You know, God may allow the suffering people around us to go through more than they can feel, think, or handle and bear, because God wants his people to know that they can hope in him. They can hope on his power and his grace.
Men of Honor, making a difference in the lives of men so they can make a difference in their community.
Here's another one I've heard. God brings you to it, he'll lead you through it. And that does conjure up, you know, images of the Israelites getting through the desert, but it's not entirely biblical either. It's not necessarily what the Bible teaches. And, I mean, God does say, Jesus does say, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age in Matthew. But oftentimes we use this supposed verse to mean that God will always remove us from a bad situation. If you've got a tough job, that's okay. God will get you out the door. Struggling marriage, God will fix it before you even know. Made a dumb decision, God will take care of it. Could he get you out of that tough spot? Of course he could. Will he? That's up to him and his perfect will. Have a look at Daniel, for example. God let this boy, and Daniel was a boy when they got taken into captivity. God led this boy off into the captivity, and he never brought him through Babylon and back to Israel. He kept him there through king after king after king, and they got thrown into a fire, and he got thrown into a lion's den, and he got persecuted by kings, and he was just, all this horrible stuff happened to this guy. Battle after battle, danger after danger, and Daniel grew old and died far from home, never got to see the land that he longed for. But God used that time for some amazing, amazing displays of his power. I've got to tell you, you might never get through your struggle. That's the reality. And that might sound a bit shocking to some Christians. I had a well-meaning friend tell me the other day that, you know, let me backtrack a bit. I'm a recovering addict. And which means I suffer from the disease of addiction. I had a well-meaning Christian friend tell me the other day that God hasn't removed my addiction because I don't have enough faith. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. See, I believe that God allows me to remain in my addiction because that's what keeps me close to him. If he was to remove it like that, which I believe he can, and I believe that he does, that would just wipe out my need to rely on him, because I'm pretty selfish. It'd be so easy for me to forget where I came from if God actually removed that from my life. I don't want to be an addict for the rest of my life, but it keeps me close to God, so I'll deal with it. God might lead us to stay right where we are so that we can have an impact there. Because I'm a recovering addict, I get to work with other addicts, and I can relate to them on a personal level. I'm no different to any other addict in the room. I've just been clean a little bit longer. And God allows me to go through that because that gives me a good connection with the people that I work with. And I'm okay with that. God may never get you through the struggle. God might lead you to stay right where you are so that you can have an impact there and he can get the glory. Here's another one. If God closes one door, he'll open another one or a giant window. it's closely associated with number two above, but it has the same potential to you know, get put on those nice sunset images that you see on Facebook and or a basket of kittens or something ridiculous. But here's the thing. The Bible does promise that God will keep us headed in the right direction. So there is a little bit of truth to it. But this is what it actually says in the Bible. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And by the way you should go doesn't necessarily mean that God will make an escape hatch for us when times are bad. When things get tough or we don't seem to be making progress, it doesn't mean that God's going to get us out of that situation. In fact, God does some of his best work when we're waiting. Sometimes God answers our prayers by not answering our prayers. He hears our prayers. God does some of his best work when we're waiting, and that's what teaches us to trust him more. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. If God closes a door, we need to stop and consider what's going on. Perhaps we're trying to force our way into something that he's trying to protect us from. Looking for another door or a window in those times might make us miss a lesson because we're sure we should be doing something else, anything. We keep trying to go where God wants to protect us from. If God stops you and shuts a door in your life, don't immediately look for another one. Don't look for another way through. Stop and ask him if that's truly what he wants you to do. Otherwise, it could be like Peter, who tried to keep Jesus from being arrested, when being arrested is exactly what Jesus needed to happen to him. No, that's exactly what God had planned. Okay, this next one. Your wish is my command, says the Lord. Rub your Bible 3 times and ask for a wish. It doesn't say that, of course. And you might not have heard this put so bluntly before, but the sentiment certainly been shared that if we call out to God, he'll give us what we need. If you keep asking, if you believe enough, if you've got enough faith, then God will give you whatever you want. What a load of horse crap. Can I say that in church, Paul? I just did, too late. Stewie might have to edit it out, I don't care. We have to be careful here, of course, because God does promise many times to hear the prayers of those that call on him. He does promise that. And we also know that God answers those prayers, but we're even told this: delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart in Psalm 37. But there's much more here than God being some sort of genie. Whenever God promises to hear our cries or to answer our prayers, there's always an important stipulation that goes with it. God will give us the desires of our heart when we delight in him. And that's the point. He's what we need. Not fame, not fortune, or anything else that this world can offer us. When we seek him first and his righteousness, we have exactly what we need. So does God answer our prayers? Of course he does. Should we bring our needs to him? Every single one. Should we expect him to answer our prayers exactly as we want? No. Not unless we're mainly praying and desiring for his will to be done. He knows way better what we need than what we do. This one's going to annoy some people. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Years ago, I first heard this, and it was like the staple of a lot of preaching. Problem though, is that it's not biblical. We can be sure that God loves us, that's true. And after all, the most famous verse in the Bible assures us of God's love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That who, you know the verse, John 3:16. He sent his son to prove that love. So there's nothing amiss there. God sent Jesus to save us, and that's solid ground for good evangelism. But the trouble starts when we add the idea that once we're saved, that everything will be totally awesome. That's not true. Despite what it may have meant at one time, that wonderful plan for your life part sounds a lot like he'll fix all your problems, doesn't it? The truth is that following Jesus may actually cause problems for the believer. Look at our brothers and sisters over in the Middle East that follow God, that are converting from other religions to follow Jesus, and they're getting murdered and tortured and separated from their families. We got no idea in Australia what it's like to be persecuted for Christ, thankfully. But even putting on Salvation Army uniform is like putting a target on your back, especially if you're in a shopping centre around Christmas time collecting. You meet some interesting people that have some interesting ideas. Did you know we were a cult? I got told that by a guy in his infinite wisdom. God bless his little polyester wool blend socks. The truth is that following Jesus might actually cause problems for you. Jeremiah obeyed God's call and ended up at the bottom of a cistern, of a well. David trusted God and spent years on the run from a crazy king. Paul surrendered to Christ and he forfeited prestige for prison. And he wasn't one to hide what following Jesus meant. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." What's the point of all this, though? Where am I headed? You're probably wondering. Am I just here to kick all your beliefs that you've had for the last few decades to the curb? No. Life is really hard. That's the truth. And we can't handle it ourselves. That's why we need God. That's why we need a higher power. That's why God created us to be in a community. That's why when men join men of honor, we promise both to care for others and to let them care for us. Because God didn't make you to handle all these horrible things that happen in your life alone. God did promise to be with you, to work through others, to put gifts in your path that might make those challenges a bit easier. And get this, God doesn't give us the bad things that happen in our lives. God doesn't give us cancer. God doesn't make hurricanes and earthquakes happen. God doesn't make the people die far too young. God doesn't abandon people who feel that the addictions in their own lives that are just becoming too overwhelming. God doesn't lead us into financial ruin. God doesn't cause terrible car accidents. We're humans and we do stupid things and there's consequences. Other people do stupid things that have consequences on our lives. Sometimes we hurt other people. Sometimes they hurt us. The earth's natural processes don't always mix with our human development. But God doesn't give us bad things. And God certainly isn't trying to test how strong we are by the level of grief that we can handle. Instead, we've got the promise that God walks with us, that God's grace will sustain us, and that even the very worst thing is never the last thing, because God's love wins in the end. And even death is overcome by life. We've got the promise that nothing in life or death, or even in life beyond death, can separate us from the love of God. That's a pretty good promise. Nothing that we've done can separate us from his love for us. We've got a promise that God will never leave us or forsake us. So in the hard times, in the hardest times, instead of saying to ourselves and others that God won't give us more than we can handle, our response should be as followers of Jesus to say, I need help. And trust that the help will be there. I want you to erase it from your vocabulary that God won't give you more than you can handle. And I challenge you to replace it with this in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble into the center of the sea, when the waters roar and rage, when the mountains shake because of the surging waves. The Lord of heavenly forces is with us. The God of Jacob is our place of safety. That's a pretty good substitute, hey? And that's biblical. We can say with confidence that God will help us handle everything we encounter in life. That God has not promised all blue skies and rainbows, but that God has promised to be with us through it all. And for that, we can give thanks. As the band comes up, I want to challenge you with another challenge. I know that I've probably I've probably dispelled a few myths and challenged a few people's belief systems and worldviews this morning, but that's okay. We say in recovery that if nothing changes, nothing changes. And that's true in our Christian walk too. God is there through our troubles. God is always there, and His grace is sufficient for us. And His strength is there to help us get it through. I don't know why God doesn't heal people sometimes. I don't know why God allows people to suffer through those things. I do know that He's there through it all, though. And whatever you're going through, all you need to do is say to God, I need help. Say to another human being, you need help. That's a good step in the right direction. You don't have to do it alone. Life is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's pray. God, I thank You that You loved us so much that when we were in our deepest, darkest place, that You sent Your Son to die for us so that we didn't have to carry the shame of sin. I thank You, Lord, that You are there to guide us, that You are there to give us strength through these difficult times. I thank You that You allow us to be tested beyond our means so that we can call out to You, so that we can learn to trust in You, so we can learn to rely on You with everything that we do. I ask, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room today that's going through things that just seem unbearable, that You just reassure them that You are there through their storm, that You're there to provide for them, to give them what they need, not what they want. And as they call out to You, that You continue to strengthen them through these times. Lord, we don't have all the answers, but You do. And I pray that people would just reach out to You and allow You to be their strength, to be their help their present time of need, to be their encourager, to be their friend when they're lonely, to be their support when they feel like they're crumbling. Lord, I thank You for all these things. I thank You for these things, and I ask these things in Jesus' name.
Would you like to run Men of Honor in your church or small group? To find out more, email us at menofhonor.club for a free resource pack. Men of Honor, making a difference in the lives of men so they can make a difference in their community.